Yo, we're back from our summer break. Cousin Ant, I think we need a break from our break. What do you think, cuz? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing real good. Watching all these freaking matches, getting ready for ADCC in September. I'm totally stoked for it, especially after this last competition, the Who's Next competition.
Yeah, lots of jiu-jitsu to talk about. Lots of things have been going on since we took our little summer hiatus. So on this week's episode, we're bringing it back. We're talking, just like my cuz just mentioned, Who's Next finale, including the Gordon Ryan versus Pedro Marino match. And we're talking ADCC 2022. The list has been finalized. Maybe so. A couple names have already dropped out since they finalized this list. So it's finalized for now. So we're going to be going over our picks, talking about jiu-jitsu to look out for, matchups we want to see. So Mo, please, I hope you're listening. Stay tuned, jiu-jitsu.
This is the motivation.
Hi, Jujitetos. First segment on the dock. We got the Who's Next finale that just came up, just happened last week. Cuz, overall thoughts on the show without giving spoilers away, because we will do that in just a little bit, but we'll let y'all know. So, overall thoughts, were you surprised? Were you happy? Were you left with questions? What'd you think, my man?
You know what? I was super excited about this tournament. I mean, you're going to see everybody. You start watching them through the finale, through the season and everything. It was a short season, but got to see them through the season. And then when you get to the chance where, like, all right, they're going to kind of redeem themselves. You get to come to the tournament, train, and then you're going to have Gordon Ryan, you know, putting on a show at the very end. You're like, I was super stoked. But then when I was watching it, man, I was a little disappointed. I was a little disappointed in a couple people. And I'm not surprised with Gordon Ryan's comment at the end, especially with what I saw. I know we're going to get into it, but, you know, I was a little disappointed. But there were some oh shit moments, like that prelim fight that we will talk about here.
All right, cuz, let's just jump into these prelims. So, like, as I was saying earlier, or as I was thinking, but I had my mic on mute, these prelim matches were free on YouTube. They were streamed live. If you didn't have a Flow Grappling subscription, you could head over to YouTube and watch these matches for free. So let me go over the four matches. It was Spencer Fauzier, a.k.a. Sewer Rat, who became a very important character in this season of Who's Next, taking on Mike Rockshon. Braylor Grout taking on last-minute replacement Nicholas Marigali. Fabian, let me put on my captain's hat, Ramirez versus Max Hansen. And a match that I'm going to talk a little bit about, Big Dan Manasau taking on Tristan Overvig. Cuz, minus the Big Dan match, were there any other matches that kind of stood out to you or anything that you'd like to talk about?
You know what? I'm not in the prelims. The prelims, the Big Dan was the one that, you know, really stood out to me. And, I mean, because Sewer Rat.
So, spoiler alert, what stood out in the Big Dan match if people have not heard yet? And if you haven't heard, get your butt over to YouTube, look for the Who's Next finale, and watch.
Oh, man. Yes, definitely. What have you heard? I heard someone breaking bones. Man, that was a heel hook that he had on him. Oh, my God. All you just heard was just quickly, just snap, and you could see it in the slow-mo. You could just see his bones separating. That was intense. Intense.
Well, he had gotten him in a couple other footlocks earlier in the match. I think he had gotten him in one heel hook and one straight ankle lock, and he cranked them both, but not to the extent of the last one. And he was able to get out of both of them. So that's why I kind of felt that Tristan Overvig was maybe a little lax, and he thought, oh, this ain't shit. I already got out of two. I'm going to get out of. And then before he could even finish that thought, Big Dan cranked it like a M. I mean, when I saw it, dude, and I heard that sound, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like all those Instagram videos and TikToks of people breaking baseball bats with their little with their Kimura grips. I'm like, oh, that's because that's exactly what it sounded like. It was awful. It was instant break. That guy's going to be out for a while. Shout out Tristan Overvig. You are a monster, my man. And Big Dan, I don't even know how you can do that and just be normal about it. That's serial killer level, bro.
No, you know what? I do think when he got up, there's a couple of times he kind of looked away like, fuck. You know, that feeling, he felt it as it broke, you know? So I think he felt it. No. I think he definitely was, you know, feeling the emotions of it. I just think, holy shit, he was in a little bit of a shock. Like, did that really just happen? Did I really just break this dude's freaking ankle?
He thought he was on an episode of Punk'd or some shit. Yeah, that was too bad, man. That was too bad. But, I mean, that's the way it goes, and you got to tap early. You know what I mean? That just goes to show you at every level of this game, there's traps. You know, there's traps, and some of these traps can put you in some very dangerous situations, and that guy's going to be on the shelf for a while. So,
yeah, definitely.
That's just the way it goes, I guess. And Big Dan's putting the 99-kilo-plus division and ADCC on notice with that one, I think, you know.
Yeah, and you could definitely see a lot of Gordon Ryan's game in Big Dan.
Yeah, what's their name of their new team over there? New Wave? Is that what it's called?
Is it New Wave? What's it called?
Yeah, I think that's Gordon's team is New Wave, and then Craig's is the B team. So they're kind of like a team. I don't think they're a team together, but they're kind of like – that's what I thought. That's what I thought, but when you look at the registration, they're under different teams.
Hmm. Well, that's going to be interesting at ADCC. Also, something else I can't wait to talk
about.
Craig Jones' situation with Spriggs. Can't wait to talk about that with ADCC.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? I'm wondering if this was part of their strategy, like way back before this was even coming up, that they were like, hey, you know what? We need to create two teams so that way we can have multiple people in each division so that way we can ensure that we win. I don't know.
Just so I can dominate. And they're doing it.
That's maybe why they came up with the B team and the new wave or new whatever the other team is called. Because there is a difference between the two. So let's talk about this main card. You ready to get into this main card?
Yeah, because those other two matches that we were talking about, the Max Hansen and Baby Mirror, that was boring. Spencer the sewer rat with Mike, that was, if you watch the season, it was the same match, same shit, different day. But yeah, definitely want to get into this main event.
Yeah, let's get into the main event. And then, you know what I want to ask before you get into the main event? They put up a QR code throughout the match, throughout the event. Did you scan it?
No, I didn't. Did you?
Yeah, I did. I scanned it and they gave me a free NFT.
What?
Yeah, watch it and see if you can still get one.
Oh wow.
So just scan it with your phone and then it'll open up in a browser and then it'll make you log in and like verify your account somehow and then that's
it. Yeah. Oh dang.
I don't know what it is. I haven't looked at it, but it's somewhere in the digital world.
Making money, right? Maybe it's the video of his fucking ankle game fucking broken.
That would be cool. Not for Tristan Overvig, but for everybody else. You know what I mean? Kind of be like, you're living in infamy, you know? Like, almost like
your ankle being posterized.
Yeah, for sure, right?
Yeah. All right, so what about
this main card. Yeah, the main card. We had, let's go over the matches. There was Giancarlo Baldoni taking on J-Rod, Andrew Tackett versus Rene Sosa, Gordon Ryan, and Pedro Moreno. Is there any other matches that I'm missing? I feel like I'm missing something here.
You have the Chambers versus Isaac Michelle.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot. Forgot about that. The whole reason the show was happening.
That's because they're still in the back fucking matches doing the, you know, competing. These guys fucking went 2 hours. Yet. Yes.
Oh man. So if you have not watched this finale yet, it just went down on Thursday. Let you guys know, spoilers, we're going to go through all the main cards right now. Main card, starting in 3, 2. Because Was the J-Rod match the first match that started the show off, the main card at least?
I think it was.
Yeah. So what did you think? J-Rod from B-Team just got his purple belt at the ADCC West Coast Trials, taking on East Coast ADCC Trials winner Giancarlo Bodani, another last-second replacement, because this was supposed to be Andy Valera, I think, taking on J-Rod.
Yeah, what happened? You know, what happened with that, first off?
I'm not sure what happened with Andy. Hopefully, all is well. I mean, it looks like everything's okay. He hasn't said anything about having to miss ADCC, but for whatever reason, he wasn't able to do this show. So Bodani stepped in for 15 minutes. New Wave Jiu-Jitsu, one of Gordon Ryan's boys. What'd you think of the match, cuz? What a pace, and, by the way.
Wasn't Bodani, isn't he like, this was like his opener to Nogi, or he did like one Nogi event before this? He was very new to Nogi. Is this the one I'm thinking of?
Might be.
Or is that Mergali?
That might be somebody else. I think that's somebody else, because Bodani's been around the block for a minute. And I mentioned, he did win the post trials. Maybe, yeah, no, that's Mergali. Mergali hasn't been doing Nogi for very long.
Right. Okay. So yeah. So the J-Rod one, I mean, it was a good match. J-Rod was like super intense, fast. I mean, he was doing everything that we thought he was pushing the pace and everything, but he got caught. I think that's really what really made the decision go in Budani's way, because he caught J-Rod, and J-Rod was struggling. He fought it for a while, and he struggled to get out. I think he had him in a body triangle, and then he was going for the rear naked choke for a while. With J-Rod, and there was one point where Bodani had J-Rod almost in the bungee choke, but he ended up not putting him, ended up not getting it. But I mean, Jay pushed the pace, I think, but Bodani just had too many answers. He'd been doing it too long, and he had everything that Jay was, coming with. He had an answer for it. I think that's what really gave Bodani the decision, but I'm looking forward to seeing J-Rod, at ADCC for sure.
Yeah, it was a really interesting high-paced match. You can tell that Bodani went in with a plan, and you could tell who was the veteran and who was the new kid on the block, because Bodani wasn't wasting any energy. He wasn't doing anything flashy. He had J-Rod in some very dangerous situations and some very dangerous positions, and then towards the very end, it kind of seemed like you started taking over, because J-Rod was unleashing that crazy cartwheel, flashy. I don't even know if he did any flips, but he was doing that flashy Hanato Kanuto style of berserker barrage passing. And it worked, because he got to his back. He locked in a body triangle, I think, for a little while. He didn't.
Yep.
The choke was never in. So but he was in trouble, man. So I don't know what would have happened if the match would have continued for another 5 minutes, another 10 minutes.
Who knows? Could have definitely went a different direction. Definitely.
Oh, for sure. No doubt. It was a lot of back and forth towards the end. And luckily for Bodani, time ran out. So I don't know if that's part of the plan, but he did end up going on to win a unanimous decision. And I don't see anything wrong with that. Would you agree with that decision?
Oh, no, definitely. I would definitely agree with that decision.
Yeah, it was a good match to see, and it was good for J-Rod to get a taste of what he's going to be up against. Bodani's a lot bigger. He's not going to be in his weight class. I think Bodani's like in 88s or 99s, and J-Rod's only in the 77-kilogram division. So it's going to be it was a fun match to watch. If you have not watched it and you're into guard passing and you're into – old school versus new school, you're definitely going to want to go ahead and check that out. So, yeah. Next matchup on the docks was what? Because Andrew Tackett, was that the match?
Andrew Tackett versus
I was really looking forward to this match. So it was Andrew Tackett taking on Rene Sosa. Rene Sosa eliminated J-Rod on the first episode of Who's Number One or Who's Next by buggy choke. And what'd you think, cuz? Thoughts,
man? Now,
were you disappointed? What do you think?
No, man, I love this match.
It was such a good match, huh?
Yeah, Andrew Tackett did not disappoint. I mean, he's a young kid, but man, this guy, he's, I just see him getting better and better and better. You know, he went in there and he just dominated. He pretty much had Sosa just doing whatever he wanted, you know, and then he ended up getting that, you know, submission. He got on his back. But he, I mean, some of the, you know, how flexible he was able to, I don't remember, I don't even know what he was trying to do, but it was like an upside down triangle at one point, and then he ended up rotating and getting onto his back. And then at that point, he just started, he's like, he was trying to do a triangle with a darce, and it was just, it was nuts. But then he ended up getting his back and submitting him. That was a great match. He pushed the pace. He went in there like he knew what he wanted to do and just did it. He just dominated his game. But I mean, love that kid, man. That kid's, he's going to be something else. Definitely looking forward to seeing him again.
Yeah, man. He's really fun. And I'm talking about Andrew Tackett right here, right now. He's really exciting to watch. Very flashy, very explosive. He's got an awesome passing game. Really, really good from the top. And he's got multiple subs. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't play that leg lock game. You know, he can, but that's not what he likes to do. He likes to pass. He likes to get to people's backs, and he likes to strangle people. And that's exactly the kind of style that I'm into. I mean, I'm a smaller guy, so I like to watch that match. Did Renee bust out any buggy choke attempts in this match? I think he did.
No. He tried. I think at one point, like, he was in position, but he didn't even try for it. I don't think he like.
He wasn't even in
danger or anything like that.
Yeah, and then you know what, dude? You mentioned this. That kid, Andrew Tackett, he is so freaking talented, dude. He's so young. Mm-hmm. He's got so much experience. He's got an older brother who already qualified for ADCC, and I think he learned all kinds from him, man. And he just busting it all out, man. His older brother, William Tackett, qualified for 77 kilo, you know?
And let's not forget to mention his parents. His parents set him up for success too, as well. You know, putting him homeschooling him so that his schooling would go, would revolve around training. That's freaking. So yeah, I mean, from a young age, these kids are like, that's their life. He's just training. That's all he did, and everything else kind of just went around it.
He's a little Lionel Messi. You know what I mean? They figured it out early. Yeah, like a little soccer player. They just put him in boot camp for jiu-jitsu. Yeah, no.
Yeah,
it was a really good match. High pace. He was going for it. I'm still talking about Andrew Tackett here. He just put up a pace that was just he just wouldn't stop, you know? Mm-mm. He wouldn't stop. He was never in trouble. He locked in a couple of subs, you know. I think he tried for a darce at one point. He tried to rear naked. But he wasn't able to secure anything for a little while. And eventually he did secure the rear naked. So he ended up with just over 4 minutes left in the match. But again, he was never in trouble. Renee was in trouble the whole match. But it was still a really entertaining and fun match to watch. And I'm looking forward to what Andrew does in the future, man. I can't wait to see what he does. I think this was like a coming out party for him. Even though, you know, like, how many Ultimate Fighters seasons have we seen where a fighter comes out of a season and he may not have won the season, but he is such an exciting, fun, flashy fighter to watch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I kind of
he ends up becoming the champion.
Yeah. You never know, man. This kid's young enough to run the table. So I'm sure that we're going to be seeing a lot more of Andrew Tackett in the future, and I'm looking forward to it. So
me too.
What was the next match, cuz?
So the next one was Mergali versus Grout. And Grout's he's a no-gi guy from San Diego out of
Legion. He's with Keenan.
Yeah, there you go. Legion. Yeah, Keenan. Keenan Cornelius. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's out of there. Man? And I guess he was a substitute, right? He was a late substitute for someone. I don't know why they couldn't fight or whatever, but he is a late substitute, came in, and I was actually impressed. I don't know if I could say I was impressed by Grout and how he did, being that, you know, he wasn't in the season, he wasn't, you know, I didn't really know too much about him. But and you had Mergali, who hasn't really done a lot of no-gi or anything like that. as we were talking about earlier. But, you know, he, you know, it wasn't like Mergali went out there and just dominated him. You know, he gave him a little bit of trouble, held his own. I mean, you know, they went for like, what, 15 minutes? So it wasn't an easy match. Mergali obviously had, has more experience, been doing it a little bit longer. You know, so he had that, he kind of dominated in areas, but I can't say that he just, you know, sweeped him. It was just one thing after another. It wasn't like the Andrew Tackett fight, but it was a good match to watch for sure.
Yeah, it was a fun, exciting match. We got to see a little bit of Mergali's wrestling. I think he's been working on that, especially because of ADCC. So he looked good. He did get taken down, and if Brailer is able to get Mergali down, then that's going to be bad news for Mergali going into ADCC. He might need to work on that on his takedown defense, because you know how much wrestling is involved in ADCC.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, yeah, though, once the match got to the ground, it was typical Mergali, man. He was dominant, getting into mount. He used a slick body lock pass, you know, working with J-Rod and Gordon and John Danaher. You can see the influences in his game changing. He had that armbar locked in for a while, but he wasn't able to finish it. He did end up subbing him, and it was like a little over in 13 minutes, but it was a really good match. A lot of stuff going on. I'm interested to see how Mergali does in ADCC, but like I said, I'm a little worried about his wrestling game. I don't know. Maybe that might be the chink in his armor. What do you think?
Yeah, I think also too. I mean, just from watching, I mean, I can't say I know the guy, but I think just from watching, he seemed a little tired. You know, so even with that wrestling game and everything, I think if someone like J-Rod, that someone's moving, it's moving like J-Rod or Andrew Tackett, I think if he were to go against him, he's going to get tired out. I don't think he's got the energy right now or the conditioning right now to hold up with someone who's his weight but moves as quickly and you know, has the pace. I think that might be another area where someone could really, you know, kind of make him fail or make him, you know, do something dumb. Yeah, take advantage. It's just like pushing him.
Yeah, getting him tired. No doubt, because there's some really good wrestlers in his bracket. You know what I mean? He's got, dude, he's got Elder Cruz, Devontae Johnson, Craig Jones.
Craig Jones is definitely going to put it on him.
Yeah. So, good match. Well, what's the next match? The season finale. Who's next? The marathon role that everyone's been talking about.
Oh, or not my talking about. God. Yes,
we're talking. So you had Kyle Chambers taking on Isaac Michelle. So before we get into it, what was at stake here? I looked this up. The winner of this match was looking to get a 3-fight contract with Who's Number One, a $10,000 check, and 10,000 Tez, which is Tezos's cryptocurrency. And I looked it up when I was writing. Yeah. I looked it up. I don't know what it is today, but when I looked it up earlier in the week, one Tezo was valued at $1.54.
Whoop whoop! Give me a surfing.
Yeah, time to get on that train. Maybe, I don't know. Just more money going down the toilet. Whatever. So, cause this match went 2 hours 16 minutes. Let me ask these questions here. What were your thoughts on the match? What did you expect? What did you think of the pace? How long were you into this match?
I was into that match for the first 15 minutes. I'll be honest with you. I watched for the first 15 minutes, and then after that, I just had it on, just waiting for, because it was the same. If you watch two hours and 16 minutes, or you watch 15 minutes, or you watch 5 minutes, it was the same thing over and over again, with these guys. I mean, I was, Isaac, I saw him he pretty much did the same thing. He was, every time he would go into a position, he'd get Chambers, he'd get his back, go into the rear naked choke, and then he would try to, and Chambers would defend it. And then they would move to the armbar. And then he would rotate to something else. Then next thing you know, he was back on his back. And it was like that for 2 hours. Chambers didn't do shit for 2 hours and 16 minutes other than defend his neck. That's
Hey, you forgot to mention that he was covering his face. How dare you say he did nothing?
that's about as much jiu-jitsu as I saw him do that day.
Oh man, you know what? It was you're right, man. I mean, I don't know if that was his plan. I mean, it just almost looked like he went in with no plan at all.
No, you know what? I think it was the same plan he had in the season where he would tire them out. You know, people would get tired, and then because his last fight before this one, that's exactly what happened. When he was going up against Andrew Tackett kept doing stuff, kept trying, and he just continued. He stayed calm and eventually got tired, and then he like caught him. I felt that's what he was expecting to do. But this guy, you know, Isaac, no, he's fucking coming from Australia. He was jet lagged, and he's like, fuck it, I'm doing it. And he came out with the win. I am so glad he won after watching the effort that Chambers did. You know, I'm glad that he won. I think he definitely deserved it after watching that. I didn't see him push the pace. I didn't see him go for any submissions. I mean, maybe like one or two small ones.
No, he did. Remember, he had like an arm bar. Chambers hit an arm, he threatened an arm bar for a while. It was super deep. Shout out to Isaac for working as hard as he did. And he got out of that shit because that shit was killer. I'm sure he hurt his arm, but he didn't care. He just wanted to get out of there, and he did.
You're right. I forgot about that with all the 2 hours and 60 minutes of him not doing shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did forget about that armbar.
Yeah. But man, I watched the match and then I had my nephews over and I'm like, all right, guys, we're going to watch some jiu-jitsu right now. Get ready. And we had just finished watching the Andrew Tackett Renee Sosa match. So we were hype, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, all right, guys, these are the winners of the show. They're fighting for money. Let's go. Dude, I had to switch it off. I think we had to watch Jurassic Park after an hour because they were just they were not into it. I wasn't into it. So I switched off and we started watching something else, but I kept watching on my phone. But you're right, man. Isaac was just laying trap after trap after trap, and Chambers was just getting out of everything. Eventually, it would take him a while, but he was getting out of everything. Mm-hmm. But he was never really threatening with anything other than that arm for a little while. You know, and then you know what? I feel it almost is like, dude, why did you have to go and say that? Because what I'm talking about is after the match was over in the post fight interviews, Chambers was complaining that Isaac, he's like, oh, he was doing that anti jujitsu. I know you saw that because I sent you the video. Because what do you think about his anti jujitsu comments? What do you guys think about that? If you got to watch this match, did you see any anti-jiu-jitsu in Isaac Michelle's game? What do you think, cuz?
No. That dude was doing different moves from different directions the whole time. The only person doing jiu-jitsu was him, because for the most part, Chambers was just sitting there, like you said, had his hands on between his neck and his chin, and just trying to defend that rear naked choke. I mean, for the most part,
he was just trying to survive.
Yeah, he was. So if anybody wasn't doing jiu-jitsu, it was Chambers.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Chambers was just trying to survive and just using enough energy to stay alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? Definitely. So, I think he was just trying to get him tired.
I was kind of disappointed, you know, with the result or with the length of the match. But I really, I'm super impressed with what Isaac did. He just was just putting Chambers in. It was like a black belt rolling with the purple belt.
Mm-hmm.
Just he never had anything for him. You know, not to say that Isaac gave his arm up to Kyle, because shout out to Kyle, you know, props. He almost locked that sub and almost finished the match, but he just wasn't quite able to. But you take that
or even that twister. What about when Isaac Michelle put Chambers in that twister? You know?
That was crazy. I was like, dude, because remember how at ADCC trials, the Asia, the last one, the Oceania ones, Craig was giving out bonuses for quote unquote embarrassing subs. Remember that? And I was like, dude, if Michelle, if Isaac gets Kyle Chambers, a 10th planet guy, in that specific sub, holy crap, man. And he almost nailed it. He almost got it. So he was, Chambers knew what was coming. So he got out of it. But that was just another cool, cool moment in the match to see. Because going forward, what do you think they should change for the next season? Do you think they should keep it as is? No time limit? Do you think that they should start implementing points? Do you think they should just be like, hey, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just copy ADCC. Let's just get their refs because their North American refs are the best and they know how to push the pace and know how to make matches. What do you think?
You know what? I think that after an hour, they're going to throw in, they should throw in pocket knives. Throw a pocket knife in the center, whoever gets it. You know, that's, you know, now you have to defend jiu-jitsu and a knife. You know what? That's what I'm just throwing it out there. That's what I think they should do for the next season. Bonus round after an hour, you throw a pocket knife into the center of the ring. You know, all only right,
how
one.
About this?
Only
how about one. How about this? I counter your pocket knife because that could end in a very deadly situation. Somebody could die. You sent me a video a few days ago where a guy died from a knife fight. I don't want to see that happen. So how about we trade the knife fight and neither does Tom DeBlast because he commented on that. So, he's pretty upset. Stop fighting people with knives, guys. Just run the other way. Trust me. You'll live a lot longer. But how about we trade the knife for some foam-handled nunchucks? That could change the tempo and mood of the fight. No one gets hurt, and it could end in a finish some way, somehow.
Hey, what about a pool noodle? Because you can actually choke them.
Imagine defending an arm bar while your opponent has the foam nunchuck.
There you go. Or, like I said, a pool noodle. The pool noodle, you're just freaking trying to do an arm bar, and he grabs that. So you start getting hit in the face with that. You might change. You might change the direction. I think we do that after. It makes it exciting for the viewer as well.
And but no one's life is in danger. All right.
True. Do you think that Flow Grappling is going to do that again? You think they're going to do another season and do a no time limit, especially after that season finale that we just saw?
You know what? I hope that they do another season. I think that I belong to I follow a thread on Reddit where they were talking about this show. And there wasn't a whole like thousands and thousands of comments, you know, or likes or whatever. So there was kind of like an underground following. So I just don't know how successful this show was. But to me, I had a blast watching it. I thought it was cool to get to know these guys. I thought it was cool to get to learn their backstories, get to see them do different shit. I kind of could care less about the challenges, you know? Some of the challenges I thought, I was like, dude, why the fuck are you doing that? Someone's going to get fucked up. You know, like the bull riding thing. Like, dude,
yeah,
someone could have got gored in their balls and they're done, you know? But whatever, you know, kind of just like with this show, with anything you do in life, the first time you try it, you might not do it the same way the next time around. So I think there's opportunities for Flo to make some changes and make the show even better. And one of the ways they can do that is by getting rid of the no time limit because, yeah, it sounds cool. Yeah, no time limit. Submission only, motherfucker. Get that. You know what I mean? But, dude, after an hour, those motherfuckers are tired, you know?
Right,
and the pace
right.
is not as fun. So, I don't know. Maybe do different things where, like, okay, for the first 15 minutes, it's penalties for pulling guard. And no points, but submission only. And then the next 15 minutes, it's points for takedowns. And then the next 15 minutes, it's points for passing or sweeps. And then same thing, you just keep it going, you know? And then after an hour, it's whoever has the most points or whoever got subbed. Cause you can't just have somebody stalling out and surviving, you know? Like I love the EBI rules. I love that stuff, but I mean, it's so much more satisfying when you see the match end in regulation time. Yeah,
right.
What do you guys out there think? Do you guys out there agree? Do you guys like seeing the overtime? Do you guys, or do you just prefer a match being done in the time that it's supposed to be done in?
Yeah, I think ADCC kind of, is on that.
I got shit to do sometimes. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I love the ADCC rule set. And the other thing that goes in hand with that is that they have the right refs. They have the refs that understand those rules, and they know how to – they're not necessarily pushing the pace. They're enforcing the rules, and the rules enforce that pace all by itself, bro. All by itself. You fucking want to win this match? Follow these rules, and you'll win this match. And you know what I mean? That's how you do it. Hard-nosed wrestling, fucking hunting for subs, and that you're going to get rewarded for those things. You know what I mean? And that – yeah. Mm-hmm. So – I do think that they have that they have the right, they have the answer. So maybe they'll take some hints from them. Maybe they'll use those rules next time. Who knows? It's totally up in the air. But do you want to see a season two or what, cuz?
Oh, hell yeah. I'd love to see it. Like, I think, like, you hit it on the nose. You got to really get to, like, understand and get to know these fighters, and especially the ones coming up and everything. You know, you got to see them, like, in a different light. You got to learn about, you know, how they came up, or what their, you know, what their style is, or what their kind of mindset is, how they kind of operate outside of the mat and on the mat. So I really liked it. I really liked it. I hope they do another one.
Yeah, no, it was cool, man. I mean, dude, we got to know Renee Sosa, the teacher. I think he's a science teacher even.
No, he's right up your alley.
Yeah, yeah. So that was pretty cool. All right, so the finale, the main event, Gordon Ryan taking on his first of two challenges before ADCC. Gordon Ryan, Pedro Moreno. Cuz, let me ask you three questions here. How long was Pedro in this match for reals? What were your expectations for this match? And were you impressed?
How long was he in the match for? He was in the match the whole time. Almost the whole time. I think it got short to 30 minutes, just because Gordon Ryan was like, all right, I'm going to finish this. But, no, I wasn't impressed. To be honest with you, I wasn't impressed. Now, I know that Pedro, he's a great jiu-jitsu. I'm, you know, fucking dominant or anything, but Gordon Ryan is the fucking GOAT for a reason. And he showed it. At no point did he look tired. Yeah, of Nogi. You know, at no point did he look tired. At no point did he look like he wasn't doing his thing. And then, and the only time where there was kind of like, I don't know, it was kind of equal is when they were hand fighting at the very beginning. At the very beginning, it was hand fighting. But then Pedro, he messed up. Gordon got his back. And then once they were on, took him down to the ground. And then after that, it was just Gordon all day long. It was Gordon all day long. Did I expect more from Pedro? Yeah, I did, especially knowing that he's going to go up against Gordon Ryan. But Gordon Ryan's Gordon Ryan, you know? Like, fuck. Like, that dude's a fucking GOAT in no-gi for a reason, man. And he – you know how they say, like, Gordon Ryan is like Michael Jordan of jiu-jitsu? I can't even say that because even fucking, you know, Michael Jordan would miss a shot here and there. Gordon Ryan goes into these matches like, this is how I'm going to win. All right, how I'm going to win. I'm just going to do this to you. I'm going to do that to you. It was just like, wow. He made Pedro look like a blue belt going with a blue belt going with a black belt. Like, that's what it seemed like once they were on the mat. Like, wow. I was impressed by Gordon Ryan. I was but I can't say that I was too impressed with Pedro, just because I thought he would do something different. I thought he would have something to bring to the table, but he just got dominated. Man, he got dominated. He got waterboarded with Gordon Ryan's t-shirt.
Yeah, he did, man. And you know what? Gordon looked huge.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. But there weren't weight difference. They weren't. There were only, 5 pounds different?
When they weighed in, there was just the weight difference wasn't that much. But when you see them, when we saw them on the day of the match, there was a tremendous difference. Whatever it was the day before, it wasn't the same the next day for damn sure. Mm-hmm. Gordon was just smothering the shit out of him, and the audacity of him to think that he could just smother Bedro and make him sub. Like, I'm like, that's a slap in the face, bro. That's disrespect, motherfucker. Right. That shit's gonna come back on you. And then I said it already, but seriously, the audacity of Gordon to write down, I'm gonna smother him and he's gonna submit, you know, and then that's what he wrote on the envelope. Dude, you got balls, Gordon. You got balls. What did you think of Gordon's wrestling? He backed it up. He backed it up for sure. I'm just nitpicking at this point where I'm saying, like, he's like, oh, he said he was gonna smother him. I'm like, Gordon, I thought you were gonna smother him, bro. What the fuck? That's weak.
Yeah, but the thing is that Bedro knew what he was trying to do. Yes. So he was giving up his back so he couldn't be right in his card. You know?
Yep.
I mean, that's how bad it is when you're like, okay, I know you're gonna try, you wanna submit me this way, so I'll let you submit me this way just so you're not right on how you submit me, but you're still gonna submit me. Like, you know, I know I'm
almost
gonna lose.
Like, so the way a fighter. I was just gonna say, it's almost like the way a fighter in MMA would give up their arm or their neck to let themselves get submitted so that they can stop getting their face pounded in.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was expecting Bedro to go in there because Bedro was talking some shit before the fight. You know, when he was
at,
showing when he was back at his gym and everything, he was saying that he was gonna take Pepto Bismol and hide it in his cowboy hat, and then when Gordon loses, he was gonna after the match, he was gonna hand him the bottle of Pepto Bismol. He's talking shit about his stomach issues, whatever, you know. And that, so I mean, he was talking a lot of shit. So I expected a little more. I expected something out of Pedro, but the only
time I saw him, right?
Yeah, and nothing. Like, you know, like I said, the only time I really saw anything was just the hand fighting, and that wasn't even
the greatest, that was only for a little bit. He really didn't do anything for it.
Yeah, he didn't do anything with it.
True that. What did you think of Gordon's wrestling in the few minutes that we got to see?
You know what?
Were you impressed? Do you think he's got some things to work on? Do you think that's something that people might be able to take advantage of?
No, you know what? As far as like the wrestling and stuff, it's hard to really tell Gordon Ryan at this level and everything that he needs to work on his wrestling, because obviously what he's doing works for him. And you know, I don't see him doing like, you know, like J-Rod did in ADCC, you know, doing that duck under, you know, to get to the back or to the single leg, he doesn't, you know. So he knew that he wanted to be higher than Pedro, so that way he didn't get stuck in Pedro's guillotine. So he, you know, he made sure to do that. He put the pressure, and then he just wanted to get Pedro to react. He wanted him to go to the ground and go for that single leg, so that way he could start doing the jiu-jitsu. So I can't say that, you know, Gordon needs to work on his wrestling. I think Gordon is just doing what Gordon does, and that works like the best for him, because he just dominated that. You know, he dominated. He waited for it. He kept putting pressure on Pedro, kept trying to drop his head. And then once he, you know, he dropped his head and he ended up like pulling away to the run, that's what gave Gordon his back. And Gordon, you know, got his, Pedro's back, and then took him straight down to the ground. So no, I can't say that he needs to work on anything. He just needs to keep doing him.
Definitely, definitely, man. Yeah, interesting to see. I thought that if there's anything that someone could take advantage of, it's going to be the wrestling, because I thought his wrestling sucked. He was a lot bigger than Pedro. He eventually got the takedown, but we'll talk about who's in his bracket in ADCC in a little while. But I definitely think that if there's a better wrestler out there, which there could be, could use that and exploit that to their advantage, and use a takedown or their wrestling to nullify Gordon's game long enough to win the match.
I don't know, because I think
snooze fest.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think that, you know, where Gordon Ryan is very dominant is, you know, on the ground. So even if that wrestler, you know, did that single leg, that double leg, whatever, and gets Gordon into his back, I think that's where Gordon, you know, thrives, is on the mat. That's where his fucking jiu-jitsu is just like on point. So, yeah. I mean,
but if they can keep it up on the feet and make him wrestle and turn it into a wrestling match instead of a jiu-jitsu match, and then use a takedown to sneak in and steal it at the end, that's what I think they can win. Because there ain't nobody that's going to out jiu-jitsu Gordon in this tournament.
Like, you're talking about, like, points-wise, like getting you taking using the points. Exactly.
Just like how we talked when Eduardo – just like how we talked when Eduardo came in this on the show and we talked about the rule set. Like, if you go in and you know how to use the rules to your advantage, you could fucking steal all these matches.
Yeah.
You could win all the way to the fucking end, dude, as long as you know how to play the rules right.
Right. And that would definitely be the way to beat Gordon. But you better hope that that gorilla does not fucking grab a hold of your arm or your leg as you fucking try to get out to do another takedown, because he's coming for you. You know, he's gonna make you pay.
Yeah, who was the guy that J-Rod went up against in the finals in the ADCC West Coast Trials? Was it Joe Crispin? You remember that guy?
I don't remember who he went up against, but.
He looked like AJ Agazarm with more tattoos. And he was just wrestling the shit out of fucking everybody all the way to the finals. Double legging, fucking body slamming, throwing everybody around, dude. He just wrestled the whole way. And he got subs, but he used his wrestling to his fullest potential. And I almost wish that they would have given that guy an invite, because his matches were so exciting to watch. Dude, you remember that guy?
Yeah, I do.
I
do. I don't remember his name, but I do remember the guy. And, you know, he was exciting to watch. He definitely was exciting to watch. Well, let me ask you. What did you think? Two things. What did you think about Gordon when he would pat Pedro on the head during the match?
Like when they were standing up?
No. When they were like on the ground, when Gordon was on top of him and like trying to isolate the arms and everything. Every so often, you'd see Gordon, like, he would be, like, smothering him, and then he would just kind of, like, tap him on the head, like, almost like petting a little kid's head. He would do that every little while to Pedro. Did you notice that catch that?
I didn't notice, but it kind of just sounds like he's probably just doing that to antagonize him, probably.
Oh, yeah, you know, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. A couple times he'd look up at the crowd. Or the judges, and he'd start talking to him. He'd start patting Pedro on the head, you know, like, oh, it's okay, it's all right, just let this happen, you know. And then he at one point he even told the judge, he's like, the one of the judges in the beginning who had said that she went for Pedro, she was like saying that Pedro was gonna win. He's like, this is because you said that, and like just fucking smothering the shit out of Pedro.
I remember it. So that it was a lady that said that went for Pedro, and she went for Pedro because he's on her team. He's part of her team.
Yeah.
So of course you gotta go for your boy. You gotta. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. So
that's kind of fucked up for him to do that. And that brings me to another point is me and Coach were talking about this the other day, and we were like, dude, and I think about this all the time. Every time he pulls this shit, it's like, dude, eventually that shit's gonna come back on you. Like, yeah, it's selling you instructional, it's making you popular on social media, but it's almost like you're making a deal with the devil, you know? Like,
you think
you're gonna talk so much. Oh yeah, dude, it's gonna come back on him for sure, dude. There's no way you can talk that much shit and it's not gonna come back on you. Eventually, there's always a bigger, badder dog, and they're gonna come.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. There's always gonna be eventually, you know, just like, you know, Jordan. You know, obviously there was, you know, then you had Kobe and everything like that that came in, and you're gonna have your people that are our age and are like, no, you know, Jordan's always gonna be the best. You know, fuck LeBron. I'm not even talking about him. So I'm sure that, you know, that eventually there's gonna be someone out there is going to be a bigger, better look. I mean, look at Dan, like Big Dan. He might be, you know, eventually one day take on Gordon, you know, and be able to beat Gordon, you know. But I mean, I just see this guy. You can either take it as he's being an asshole, but you could also just take it as he's just that fucking confident in his jiu-jitsu, you know. and
oh, no doubt.
Take this shit as a fucking learning lesson. But, you know, I mean, yeah, this dude is fucking just dominant.
No doubt he's dominant. No doubt he's tearing it up in Nogi, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is he gonna be considered one of the all time greats? In Nogi, for sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah, for sure.
I consider the all time greats. Like, you gotta do it in both for me to impress me. Like, yeah, that's impressive. Like, there's a shitload of people that have been super good even before Gordon in Nogi only, but they never did shit in Gi, you know, so we don't really know about them, you know?
Right, right.
And if he wasn't talking the shit that he's been talking, we probably wouldn't even know about him. So that's kind of where he kind of turned anti-jiu-jitsu, if you will, because talking shit's not a jiu-jitsu thing, you know what I mean? So it's kind of taking everybody kind of back a little bit. So it is what it is, you know what I mean? And he's doing what he's doing to promote his brand and promote his name. But I'm saying, all I'm saying is, dude, eventually you're writing a check or a bill for yourself that you're not going to be able to overcome. And I'm super looking forward to that day. No doubt.
Right? You know?
Yeah. It's going to happen. So,
oh man,
who knows? Maybe who knows? Maybe it's Mika. Maybe it's somebody. Who knows? I don't even know. Who knows?
Yeah.
So that's the last match of who's next finale. The next thing I want to talk about, cuz what are we gonna be talking about?
So the next thing we got going on is we got UFC, or are we going into ADCC lineup? What are we doing?
No, we got ADCC, so much to talk about. We got the ADCC final cut. We know now, as of right now, as long as injuries don't occur, we know who the final competitors in each weight class is, minus one at the moment. And we'll talk about that when we get to that in a minute. So should we just start by going over each division competitors?
Yeah,
and we can go into who we think is going to win, who your dark horse is, who you think is going to make an impression on everybody, and what are some matchups that you want to see. What do you think?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Let's start for the people at 66 kilograms. So at the 66 kilogram division, we have European trials winner, the first European trials winner, Ashley Williams. Second European trials winner, Sam McNally. First North American trials winner, Cole Abate. Second North American trials winner, Keith Krikorian. First South American trials winner, Diogo Reis. Second South American trials winner, Fabricio Andre. Asia and Oceania trials winner, Jeremy Skinner. Invited, and then the rest are all invitees. So Kennedy Maciel, Gabriel Sosa, Ethan Krellenston, Gio Martinez, Diego Pato Oliveira, Juan Alvarenga, AJ Agazarm, Josh Cisneros, Gary Tonin. What a sick ass division!
right?
Dude, oh my god, that thing is super fucking stacked to the max.
And that's just the under 66 kilogram. That's the under 66 kilogram.
Those are the little guys. Yeah. So, all right, cuz, who's your winner? Who's your dark horse? What are some matchups you want to see?
Fuck. All right. Well, I'm going to give my dark horse. I got to give it to Gio Martinez. I got to give him he's going to be my dark horse. Just because, you know, we saw him at ADCC. He didn't, obviously, he got invited, didn't have to do trials, whatever. But that dude's a beast. He's going up. Everyone I've seen him go up against, you know, that dude's a beast. He's always fucking taking it. So I think I see him as my dark horse. Who do I have taking it? Man, you know what? I don't know who's going to take it. There's so many. Cole Abate, I would love for him to take it, you know. But then you got Gary Tonin. I want him to take it. Josh Cisneros, I mean, I don't know. I can't choose who I want to take this, but I got Gio Martinez as my dark horse. I'm going to go ahead with Cole Abate as my underdog to win. And I don't know. I can't come up with an actual winner. Because any one of these guys wins, I'll be fucking happy, because they're just, man, this is, it's nuts. I can't pick one.
Ooh, okay. My turn. All right. So my winner for this division, I almost feel like this is like a fucking kung fu movie where like the master is showing the student how to become the badass. Because the master is the youngest ever to win ADCC. And I'm talking about Raphael. I can't even remember. I'm sorry. So, rewind. I'm sorry. So, I'm talking about Cole Abate right now. Cole Abate, AOJ product, dude. His coaches are on point. He's got, you know, actually, even before I was thinking Cole could win this whole thing, I was thinking Keith was going to win it, because I think he's due, you know, having won, having came in second place in so many trials, you know. But Cole Abate's got Rafa Mendez. He's got the Mendez bros in his back pocket, dude. You know, Rafa won. Rafa is the youngest ever competitor to ever win in ADCC trials. And if Cole wins it, he's going to be the youngest ever, even younger than his coach. So if there's someone that can show you how to win this, it's Rafa. And Cole has got the skills. I went back and watched Cole's run through the East Coast trials, dude. And he, like, had no problem with Keith. So other than that, I don't see anybody in. I mean, I think in the finals, it's going to be Keith and it's going to be Cole, you know? Who's going to make a splash? And who? Oh, Gary Tonin's going to be in the I think he'll make it to the semis, but I don't think he's going to make it to the gold. I think that the game has passed him by. His focus has been on MMA for too long, and he's trying to catch up. You know, he's trying to catch up, and there's just been too much time. I mean, I'm not saying that what Ty did to him in one is going to translate into ADCC, you know? I think that did light a fire under Gary Tonin's ass. And that may be one of the reasons why he's like, fuck it, I'm going to drop 266 from 77. So that might be why he's going into this division, because he thinks he's got a better shot of winning it in this division. But I just don't think that it's going to be enough to win. I think that Cole has been kicking ass for so long.
Yeah.
He's at the top. He's got the confidence. He's got the game. He's got the coaching. Dude, he's a fucking stud. He's going to win.
I know. That's why I had him as my underdog.
Win it, man.
That's why I had him as my underdog.
Well, check this shit out.
Everyone's going to think he's like my underdog. Too young, you know, he's not.
No, it doesn't even matter. Age don't matter, dude.
Right.
Yeah, no, but let me tell you about my dark horse, who I think is going to make an impression in this, and that's Fabricio Andre. I don't know if you guys got to see Fabricio Andre in Polaris Brazil versus USA. Did you get to watch that, cuz?
Yeah.
Dude, for those of you out there, if you haven't watched it, go on YouTube and there's a free video link of almost the whole event. Kudos to you if you understand Portuguese, because the whole commentating team is speaking only Portuguese. But check out Fabricio's wrestling, cuz his wrestling is on point. He is so sick. He has got a nasty fake single leg to an actual double leg. He busted it out against Mason a couple of times. And if Mason Fowler wasn't the high-level wrestler that he was, he would have got taken down. I bet you if we had him talking right now, he would say, dude, that guy's wrestling is on point. So I'm excited to see how that's going to translate. Too, because he's already got explosive ass jujitsu, you know.
Yeah,
he's got super at any moment, at any time, he can sub somebody. But if he can get you down at any minute with awesome wrestling, that's gonna be even better. So, with that being said, cuz, let's talk about some fucking matchups that we're looking forward to. So, can I go first? I got a few matchups here that I'm looking forward to seeing, and if these can be made, I'll be in heaven, bro. I'll be in heaven.
All right, let's see it.
All right, so check this out. I have here on my list. Let me see. Gary Tonin versus everyone. Gary Tonin versus everyone, yo. I cannot wait. I know I just said that he's not going to win the division, but he's going to have that chip on his shoulder after getting owned by Ty, and he's going to put on a show for all of us, man. I cannot wait to see anything with Gary Tonin in. Gary Tonin versus Cole Abate, another match that I hope we get to see. I'm sure we will, man. How about Kenny Maciel versus Josh Cisneros part three? Because it's 1-1 right now. Josh has a win. Kenny's got a win. You know, I don't know if any of these guys will medal, but both of these guys are going to give us some sick ass matches to watch. And Kenny is the returning champ from this weight division. You know what I mean? So that's going to be an exciting match to watch. And another matchup that I would like to see just for the wrestling, AJ Agazarm versus Fabricio Andre, I think would be a fire-ass match to watch. Sick-ass scrambles and some sick-ass takedowns to watch. Cuz, any matchups you're looking forward to seeing?
What about Gabriel Sosa? Like, I didn't hear you say him, like, as far as a matchup.
No, I didn't. But, I mean, this division is so stacked. Anything we get from here is just going to be a treat, dude. Like, there is no bad matchup in here. None.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with you. I completely agree. Like, any matchup. That's why, I couldn't pick a winner, and I couldn't pick, like, who's my favorite match, because any of these guys right here watching is going to be nuts. It's going to be nuts. I can't wait.
To watch. No doubt.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
Oh, yeah.
All right. What about that? You want to move on to 77 kilos?
Let's do it.
All right. 77 kilos. Let me go over the competitors. We have returning champion JT Torres. We have second European trials winner Tommy Langecker. First European trials winner Oliver Taza. First North American trials winner Cade Rudolo. Second North American trials winner William Tackett. First South American trials winner Mika Galvao. Second South American trials winner Roberto Jimenez. Asia and Oceania trials winner Kenta Iwamoto. And then the invitee list starting with Lachlan Giles. I think he is the returning 77 kilogram division winner from the last trial or from the last ADCC. We also have invitee Davi Ramos, Lucas Lepre, Nikki Ryan, Dante Leon, Renato Canuto, PJ Barch, and recent invitee Andy Varela. Cuz, who is your winner? Who is your dark horse?
Okay, my winner for this one, I got Gaval. I got Mika Gaval as my winner, and I got my dark horse, I have Cade Rulo. And for my underdog, I have Nikki Ryan.
Oh, nice. All right. So yes. My winner, I got Mika. I got Mika winning this.
Okay.
My dark horse is Nikki Ryan. I think Nikki Ryan is going to fucking fuck shit up, dude. We saw him at the trials. He looked huge. He looked huge, man. And how can you not get better when Gordon Ryan is your older brother?
Right.
That's only going to push you, you know? I put Nikki Ryan as my dark horse. I think the obvious is going to be Cade. It's going to be fucking shit up, man.
Yeah.
He's for sure making it to the medal round. He's making it to the podium. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he, you know what, dude? This could be Mika versus Cade in the finals, and this could be the brother revenge. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know. But, I mean, you know, I'll get to my matchups that I want to watch in a little bit. But, dude, there's just, again, just like in 66, there are so many sick matchups, so many awesome competitors in this weight class. Like, I almost feel like JT Torres is getting totally disrespected. Because, well, I mean, and it's kind of his fault because he hasn't done shit since the last ADCC. I mean, I know we had COVID in between now and then, but jiu-jitsu has gone on and he hasn't done anything. I think he's only done one IBJJF tournament and he had like two matches. He won them both by sub, but we haven't seen him do anything since. And I think that was like 2020 or 2019. Damn. So it's been a while. It's been a while. That's not to say that he's been out of the game because he's been training, you know what I mean? But everybody else has just been full force and challenging each other. You know what I mean? Look at what, what Mika has been doing. Mika has not been hiding from nobody, bro. Mm-mm. He's been hiding from nobody, you know?
And even Gordon Ryan has said, like, how good that kid is. I mean,
respect to that. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some possible matchups in this division, because I have here written down, I would love to see me some fucking JT Torres and Mika Galvao, the champ versus who I think is going to be the champ. So I don't know if this could be the gold medal match. I don't know if this could be a semis. This could be the quarters. This could be an opening match. You know what I'm saying? No. Somebody's got to go up against JT. Somebody's got to go up against Mika.
No, I'm with the Nikki Ryan JT Torres. That's
what I'm at. That would be a good matchup too, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about that. So I also have here, check this out. I got here Mika versus Cade. I would fucking love to see that. She's a fucking brother revenge, dude.
I got
Nikki Ryan versus one of my faves, Dante Leon. Sorry, Dante, for stalking you at the trials, West Coast. Hinato Kanuto.
Don't worry, we're gonna keep Dante Leon next time.
Yeah. We'll play the poker tables next time or something, bro. We'll keep it cool. But after the tournament. Dude, how badass would a Hinato Kanuto versus Dante Leon match be? How sick would that takedown match be? How sick would scrambles be in that match? That would be amazing.
Yes.
But I also have here Cade versus Nikki Ryan as a matchup that I would like to see in this.
Okay. All right. What about William Tackett? What about William Tackett? You didn't mention him.
You know what? I didn't even think about that. But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's how deep this division is.
Right?
You know what I'm saying? There's so many. William Tackett versus JT. William Tackett versus Cade. That would be a good-ass match. You know? Yeah.
Dang.
All right.
Got the Tacketts in there.
Let's move on to the 88-kilogram division, because 88-kilogram division, we have returning champion Matthias Denise, second European trials winner Santeri Ilius, first European trials winner Iogan O'Flanagan, first North American trials winner Giancarlo Bodani, first North American. Actually, why does it say two first North American trials winners? I'm sorry. Oh, because one was at minus 99. So Mason Fowler dropped to 88. So Mason qualified at minus 99, but he recently moved to 88. So Mason Fowler, second North American trials winner, J-Rod. First South American trials winner, Izaki Bayanis. Second South American trials winner, Alexandre de Jesus Robinho. Asia and Oceania trials winner, Roberto de Prias. Recent switching of weight classes, Asia and Oceania trials winner Isaac Michelle qualified at minus 99 but dropped to 88. And then the rest of this list is invitee only: Zande Ribeiro, Josh Hinger, Ty Rudolo, Wagner Rocha, Lucas Hoke Barbosa, and John Blank. All right, cuz, who you got winning this division? Who is your dark horse? And what are some matchups that you are looking forward to?
Okay, so my dark horse, especially after what we just saw with who's next thing, I got Isaac Michelle as my dark horse. I think I don't think he's gonna win it, but I think he's definitely gonna. He's impressive. He's very impressive, especially what I've seen him do. Ty Rudolo, that is gonna be. I don't know if I have him as my winner or my underdog winning this thing. Like. Because, I mean, he's just – I mean, that kid can just do it from any position. So I think I'm going to go with Ty Rulo as my underdog. And I have taken this whole thing. I got Mason Fowler winning it, man. I have Mason Fowler winning.
Woo! That's what's up. That's what I'm talking about, dude. Let me hop on that train because my winner is also Mason Fowler. My dark horse is also Mason Fowler. I don't think that he's on the radar of a lot of people, dude. But his wrestling is just that good. I mean, look what he did in the Brasileiro tournament in Brazil. Dude, he's only like the second or third American to ever fucking win that shit. He literally went into the devil's butthole of jiu-jitsu, beat everybody's ass by submission, and came out with the gold medal.
Damn.
If you can do that in gi, that's going to translate into no-gi, hands down, dude. No doubt. Yeah. Like, he's one of those guys that is just special, dude. And he can do it in both. You know what I'm saying? He's a double.
Right.
And I think that's even more special because that's just, I don't know. I think that if you dominate in one, you should be able to dominate in the other, you know? But there's so many good matchups up in here, man. So many good matchups. I would love to see Mason taking on, you mentioned this name earlier, Izaki. Dude, Izaki is a killer, you know? But I think Mason's wrestling is where Izaki lacks, and he's aggressive as fuck, but I think that Mason's game is just too slick, dude. I think
just too much.
The wrestling, along with the slick game of Kyle Terra's coaching, is just going to be too much, you know? I also have here, I want to see Mason versus Ty, dude.
Yes. I want to see that one. What about
Rocha
versus Barbosa?
Ooh, that would be a good one. That would be a good one. I also have here Ty Rulo versus Izaki. You know, I almost feel like Izaki is like the fucking iceberg, and he just kind of steamrolls over people. And Ty has the strength, but he also has the agility and speed to overcome that strength and power. You know,
right?
Another matchup I would love to see: Mason Fowler versus Giancarlo Budani. Or
how about this? What about Jacob Rodriguez versus Ty Rudolo?
Oh, dude, that would be a scramble fucking contest to the max. That would be a sick ass matchup. How about Mason Fowler versus Isaac Michelle?
Ooh, that's another good one.
That would be a good match. Yeah, that sounds like a great gold medal match right there.
Damn.
Yeah, good ass matchup. All right, All right, cuz we got two weight classes left. We are coming up to the 99 kilogram division now. We have first European trials winner Pertu Toponin, second European trials winner Luke Griffin. Second American trials winner, Paul Ardila Ibarra. First South American trials winner, Joa Costa. Second South American trials winner, Enrique Ciccone. Second North American trials winner, Kyle Boehm. And invitees, Vinicius Trader Ferreira, Rafael Lovato Jr., Kainan Duarte, Yuri Samos, Tim Spriggs, but not Tim Spriggs. Because he dropped out. Patrick
Scared.
Nicholas Mirigali, Elder Cruz, Craig Jones, and Devontae Johnson. Cuz, who's your winner? Who's your dark horse? What are matchups you want to see?
Oh, man. I got winning this one. I know I'm going to hear it. Craig Jones, I got winning this. That's going to be my winner. I'm going for all the way. Craig Jones, matchup that I wanted to see was fucking, obviously, you know, Tim Spriggs and Craig Jones. I'm just going to put that out there since Tim Spriggs is not in it no more. But all right, so I got Craig Jones is winning this. And for my underdog, I got Lovato. I got him as my underdog. And for my dark horse, I have Mirigali. I have him as my dark horse.
Nice.
Just because, all right, you know all right. What? All right. I hope that he improved. but we will see.
Yeah, for sure. No doubt, right? So my winner here, obviously, Craig Jones.
Okay.
Dark horse. I have two names. I have Kyle Boehm, but I also have Nicholas Mirigali. And I'm after watching who's next, I kind of want to take him off.
Okay. All right.
I don't think he's going to have enough. And there's so many studs in this fucking weight class. You know what I mean? There's going to be some sick ass matches. I also have here Paul Ardila Ibarra. I don't know if you remember this guy, because from West Coast Trials in Vegas, you remember him?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's committed everybody all the way to the final. This is the lawyer.
Oh shit! Okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. I was like, if this guy can get back into that mindset, if he can get in that rhythm and groove, dude, he's gonna fuck shit up, because he was fucking shit up at the trials. When he is on a roll, he is on a roll. So I would not be surprised to see him on the podium.
Fucking underdog. Yeah, dude, I'm changing him to my underdog. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, dude,
he was killing it at the trials, man. And if he can keep that recipe up, I would not be surprised to see him and Craig Jones in the finals, because he's a leg lock technician, dude. He was leg locking everybody at the trial. So that might be a really fun match to watch.
Yes.
So matchups that I would like to see, just like you, because I had Craig Jones, Tim Spriggs, obviously because of the show, Tim Spriggs talking all that shit. Now we're just left here standing with our hard-ons and nothing to happen. But I would love to see Kyle Boehm, Craig Jones. We just mentioned it. Craig Jones, Paul Ardila Ibarra. That would be a sick-ass match. Nicholas Mirigali versus Davante Johnson. But I just think Davante Johnson's wrestling is just too much, and he just overcome Nicholas. And how about this? Kynan Duarte versus Nicholas Mirigali. That might be a good matchup, too.
That might be a good one.
Yeah,
that might be good. But I was thinking more like Elder Cruz and Davante Johnson.
Ooh, that would be a good wrestling matchup, man. That would be a really good wrestling matchup. And there's a lot of names we're not even mentioning. You know, Luke Griffith, New Wave Jiu-Jitsu, second European Trials winner, one of Gordon Ryan's homeboys. He could fuck shit up, dude. We're not even mentioning one of Mason Fowler's homies, training partners, Yuri Samoz. Yuri Samoz is a stud and always has a big splash in ADCC. So I'm looking forward to what he can do. A lot of matchups for him. Last weight class, cuz. One last one. The plus 99 kilogram division. So let's start. We have the first European Trials winner, Heike Jussila. The second European Trials winner, Dan, I'm going to fucking break your leg, Manasau. First North American Trials winner, John Hansen. First South American Trials winner, Roosevelt Sosa. Asia and Oceania Trials winner, Josh Sanders. And then invitees, Gordon Ryan, who is attempting to become the first ever competitor to win his weight division, win the absolute, and win the super fight. Continuing with the list, Nicky Rodriguez, Felipe Peña, Joa Gabriel Rocha, Victor Hugo, Roberto, let me take my protein powder through powder, Cyborg Abreu, Haisam Rita, Orlando Sanchez, recent invitee, Vinny Magales, Max Jimenez, and I'm sorry, the last invitee, Damon Ramos of Hensel Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Cuz, who's your winners? Who's your dark horse? What are some matchups you want to see?
All right. So obviously my winner is going to be Gordon Ryan. That's without being said. Gordon Ryan I got as my winner. My underdog, I'm going to go with Nick Rodriguez, just because, he's won ADC before, but I think he's been improving. I think he's training every day. Nutrition's on point. I got Nicky Rodriguez as the underdog. He's still young, but he's coming up. So I got my underdog, but obviously Gordon Ryan's going to win that. And my dark horse, shit, My dark horse I had as, what did I have?
Orlando Sanchez.
That's what it was. It was Orlando Sanchez. Because of that mustache, that's what it was. I had. Oh, my dark horse was Big Dan. That's what it was.
Oh,
Big Dan. Nice. Yeah, right. Just because he has that size, he's, you know, he's been working. I see him, you know, coming up with, you know, Gordon Ryan's kind of. You could see Gordon Ryan's training in him. So he's a big dude. We've seen him dominate. So do I see him winning it? I don't know. Matchup, Felipe Pena versus Gordon Ryan. Because they're going to fight like recently, like coming up, like not before ADCC. And whoever's going to win or whatever, I want to see them come back at ADCC. So they're either going to be like, nah, fuck this shit. You know, you kick my ass. I'm going to, you know, do it now. But Felipe Pena versus Gordon Ryan, I definitely want to see. I'd like to see Nicky Rodriguez versus Felipe Pena, you know, too. Cyborg versus Victor Hugo. I'd like to see that one. I mean, there's quite a bit, man. There is quite a bit, just like the rest of these.
For no doubt, for sure. So I got... obviously my winner, Gordon Ryan. And I also have here, everyone's competing for second place basically. Cause he's taking
pretty
shit.
Much.
My dark horse. I got Hyson Rita as my dark horse. I'm just super impressed with this guy. He's a stud, dude. He's young in the game. He is. And I can't wait to see what he does. You know, there's a lot of matchups for him that I want to see. So let's get into the matchups.
Right.
Obviously, we got to see Felipe versus Gordon, part three.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see Felipe versus Hyson. I got Vinny Mangales versus Gordon Ryan. I know Vinny's been out of the game for a long ass time, but he's always a gamer, dude. Vinny always brings it. I don't know. I mean, Father Time undefeated. We've said that multiple times. So he's got that going against himself because he's one of the older guys in this division. But if he can be himself, he's going to bring a lot of good matchups for us to watch. I also have here Gordon Ryan versus Hyson. Could be a gold medal match. Nicky Rod versus Cyborg part two.
That would be a great one.
We got to see it again. Yes. That should be like an opening round match. That should be the first match. For both of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I got here Victor Hugo versus Nicky Rod. Victor Hugo versus Gordon. Orlando versus Gordon. I just want to see what Gordon does against somebody that's bigger than him.
Uh-huh. What about I got Max Givens versus Orlando Sanchez. The battle of the mustaches. The battle of the mustache. Whoever loses has to shave their mustache.
The loser has to shave their mustache. That's a good one.
Right there.
How about this? How about Felipe versus Nicky Rod?
Yes. That's like some blood sport shit right there.
Yeah. Hyson Rita versus Nicky Rod. That would be a good ass match. I could totally see that being a semifinal match to get to the gold medal.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's all I got because that was my last matchup. I'm sure I'm praying, you know, that nobody gets hurt. Nobody has to drop out. I think that
nobody gets scared to fight Craig Jones.
But I think that these competitors are the best on the planet right now. And we're going to get to see who the best is. And I think this is going to be the greatest ADCC of all time. Not just because of all the extra shit that they've added to it. I mean, dude, did you see the schedule they put out?
No.
Oh, cuz, check it out. I sent it to you. On Friday, they're going to do a meet and greet. So we're going to do a Jiu-Jitsu special where we're going to get up close and personal with all of these people. And we're going to get to ask them any questions we want. So if there's something you want to ask a specific person, hey, let us know what it is and we'll ask them for you. And we're going to put these videos up on YouTube because we're gonna about to go video, baby.
That's going to be so fucking awesome. Yeah. I cannot
it's gonna
wait.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. It's going to be amazing. So,
but we got to keep you away from Daytona. And you got that 500 feet limit. You gotta do now.
That's only in Arizona, cuz.
Oh, okay. We're good. We're good. We're good.
Yeah. 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 No, we're good. We're in Nevada. That's completely different. By the time he puts the paper, by the time he puts the paperwork in, we're gone. I'm going to steal your hat, Gary. Watch out. Nah, because we got some good shows coming up. We got UFC 277 coming up. We're going to have an awesome 40s with friends coming up because I got some killer topics I want to share with y'all. And okay. We're also talking about doing a Donald Cowboy Cerrone tribute where we're going to thank him for all the awesome memories and talk about some of our all-time favorite retired fighters. So we're just warming up, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. We got some awesome episodes coming up. Cuz, anything you want to say before we wrap this bad boy up?
No, man. I'm super excited about ADCC. I'm super excited about what's coming up, what we got going on. And yeah, thanks for having me on, and I look forward to doing this again.
Yeah, we'll see y'all next week. Everyone have an awesome, safe, fantastic week. Hopefully you're not in the Central Valley, but if you are, stay cool and stay hydrated. Drink lots of water. It's going to be hot as fuck. Everybody, keep rolling and training, and we hope to hear from you soon. Peace.
This is The Motivation.